Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Don, I think a lot of the people that go to Yankee Stadium every night, they listen to the show.
Right.
They are Don LaGreca acolytes. I'm going to tell you why.
Okay.
So, Rick Pitino, the head coach of St. John's,
I saw this.
Shows up at the ballpark.
This is so unfortunate what you're about to do.
And he's wearing a Yankee jersey. Number 7. But sadly, above the number 7 is the name Mantle.
Boom!
As if it would be Gilbert. And so they showed him on the scoreboard. He stood up, got a nice ovation.
Yeah.
Then he turned his back to the camera so they could see he's wearing 7 Mantle, and people actually booed.
Should.
And I said, those are the Don acolytes right there. Those are the people that worship at the altar of LaGreca. Why would Rick Pitino do that?
Boo his ass!
Now, you feel the same way, by the way, Michael. I do. Yeah,
but
you're right there.
Much more vocal about
Not much more vocal, but even if you kind of side with Peter that, hey, they make those available, and or if you want to go with the whole authentic jerseys are more expensive, although you can get the replicas without the name if you try a little harder. But even if you don't think it's that big of a deal, Peter, when you're going with the retired numbers, if you've got a 3 Ruth or a 4 DiMaggio or 5...
I don't know why, Don. The 3 Ruth is the one that makes my skin crawl.
I'm sorry. You can't defend it. You can't. Rick Pitino has no idea what he's doing, or he's mocking him. Like, he's not a dumb person. Obviously, he's a very smart person, but he thinks he's a Yankee fan. He's not. He's lost. He's clueless. You can't wear a 7 and have Mantle on the back and then turn like you think you're going to get an ovation from the crowd.
Oh, boy.
It's as if all the knowledge he has in basketball was taken from his baseball thought.
And now there's nothing
right?
left.
Like he's completely lost. Mm. No, like, come on, Peter.
It's not a good look.
It's certainly not.
It's not what you want.
No,
Peter.
It's absolutely not what you want. And it's not like I can make the argument that he can't afford the jersey.
No, he can afford many things.
But Peter, even you, who have said you don't think it's that big of a deal, and maybe I'm going too far, you still have to agree. If you go to those certain numbers, you can't defend it.
Listen, you have to understand, my defense of this is just in defending the people. It makes me sick. I think I can say safely, there's not a person who works at this radio station who's collected more authentic jerseys than me. It's a thing. I have phases, Don. I would seek out the original authentics. Then I got into the Mitchell and Ness. I got a new one this week. I haven't debuted yet, Don. An original 90s Allen Iverson, Mitchell and Ness, full authentic. Remember when they had the designs down the side, the blue design?
Oh, yeah.
I'm debuting it this summer. I love the authentic jersey. My defense always falls on the people because I think the Yankees should respect their own history and stop selling the names on the back. But in this case, A, because it's Rick Pitino, and B, because it's one of those sacred first, really, 9 numbers to me. You can't put the name on. It's a bad optic.
Here's why he's lost. Is, all right, it's one thing to just like, I don't care. I got a jersey. I'm a Yankee fan. I don't care what people think. I would think Rick Pitino is at the level where he doesn't care what people think.
Well, he actually tweeted it out before they showed him on the scoreboard.
Right, but
he
tweeted it out.
He had a caption.
He was
proud.
But to move and show the kid, like, to actually think people were going to go, yeah! Rick Pitino's a Yankee fan. He loves Mantle. Yeah, like him thinking that, you're gone, man. You're lost.
Mantle.
Yeah, I saw it, and it said that there's certain things that automatically make me think of Don. Like when I have to go to the bathroom, I can't hold it, and I think of Don.
Really?
Of Ottawa.
Is that true?
Again, yeah. Why do you throw? Do you not know? Either you don't respect the story. which I don't think is the case, because I think you do respect the story.
I revere the story. It's not Ottawa? But,
no, it's Calgary.
I'm sorry. I mess it up.
But I don't know. Do you not understand the geography of Canada?
No, I just... it's all messed up in my mind. I'm sorry.
Ottawa is an hour and a half outside of Montreal. You know where that is, right?
Yeah, I know where
Calgary is above Montana.
He's confused.
First of all, I'm not looking at the geography in my mind. I'm just saying Ottawa, Calgary. I think it both has the same amount of letters.
I know, but it's still...
Yeah, you know, considering...
Calgary, it's different. I'm sorry.
And considering the way you talk about Don and the time zones...
Actually, Calgary's more letters.
Calgary. Seven. Yeah.
That's how they say it up there.
Yeah, and Ottawa is six, right? O-T-T-A-W-A.
It's, in Canada, they say Detroit and Calgary.
Do they really say it?
Yeah, they say Detroit.
That's not right.
Well, they do what they want up there.
Interesting. So the Knicks against the Pacers tonight,
sure.
as the 4 days of heaven at Madison Square Garden continues. They have not seen a loss yet. The Knicks won the first game by 4, 121-117. And tonight, what adjustments do the Pacers make? And more importantly, I think most people would agree, what adjustment do the officials make? Do they overcompensate because of the bad calls they made against Indiana? Because you could roll your eyes and go, that's not going to happen. It happened in the Sixers series, and I think it might happen tonight. So the Knicks are really going to have to mind their P's and Q's and not get close to making, you know, fouls that could impact the game. Now, you're not going to go without fouls in a game, but you got to really be careful because I think the officials are going to be on higher alert.
All right, so if you're careful, that could take you out of your game because you want to be aggressive too, so you don't want to see the Pacers take advantage of the Knicks trying to play soft and avoid fouls. So this could really work to Indiana's favor the way it did for the Sixers after they didn't get the calls in the previous game.
Now, the Knicks announced yesterday that Mitchell Robinson is out 6 to 8 weeks, which is the season, with a stress injury in that same foot. So he's done. And it's going to bring into effect Precious Achiuwa. Now, Precious Achiuwa, when he played, was very effective. He's kind of a smaller center, but he can do the job. And against Indiana, I think that plays, as I mentioned earlier, Miles Turner works on the perimeter. He's not really a 6'11" guy that is down in the paint. He's a great 3-point shooter, and he's going to do that. Mitchell Robinson would sometimes get flummoxed with centers that do that. But I think Precious Achiuwa can guard on the perimeter. And then you've got Hartenstein, who's probably going to play 35 of the 48 minutes anyway. And if any of them run into foul trouble, they'll go with Jericho Sims. Now, Jericho Sims has not played in the playoffs. Jericho Sims has played some significant minutes at times during the season. So as much as I hate losing Robinson, and you do lose, you know, rebounding, that's very, very obvious, I don't think that it's going to be a crippling blow. It's not on the same level as losing Julius Randle, which the Knicks absorbed. But the Knicks spent most of the season playing without Mitchell Robinson. So although this is a terrible, terrible injury for Mitchell, and he sent out a very cryptic tweet. I'm going to remember, and I'll have revenge. Revenge on whom? I mean, was there a specific? Was it the tripping incident with Embiid that actually injured you?
No.
How are you going to get revenge? And revenge is a dish served cold, and also without warning. So I don't know why Mitchell tweeted that out. But anyway, players with tweets, whatever. But I don't think this is going to really hurt them in this series. If they lose this series, it's not going to be because Mitchell Robinson didn't play.
You wouldn't think so. Now, I guess it does it hurt your depth? I don't know. You wanted Achiuwa in there. Most of the fans wanted to see more of him. Now you will. They have the bodies. It's just a case of Tibbs not wanting to use them. Like, they're not shorthanded in the sense that they don't have enough players. He chooses not to use those players. So now he's going to have to use Precious. So I guess that can end up being a good thing because he did play well in the regular season.
I mean, no, but Precious Achiuwa can play.
Yeah.
I don't have a problem with Precious Achiuwa playing.
But even with Mitchell Robinson, they were only rotating 7-8 guys. He could still do that.
Right.
So, listen, he was on his way to being the Defensive Player of the Year. He had a tremendous start to the season, Mitchell Robinson. And then they lost him, and then the team caught fire because they found out that they had Hartenstein, who came off the bench, that now could start and could play very well. Remember when that injury happened, Michael, when I was still doing the play-by-play early in the season?
Right.
that Jericho Sims replaced him originally in the starting lineup. Like, they wanted to leave Hartenstein off the bench. They didn't know what they had in him until they started to play him more minutes and they found out that they found a beast. It really was the turning point in the season, I think, in a lot of ways for the Knicks. Now, you don't want to see him hurt. You'd rather have him, no question, but I'm with you. I don't think it's as debilitating as people are making it out to be.
No, I think they could be good, and I don't think that Knicks fans should, you know, hit any panic button if they lose tonight. I would still think that they could win tonight, and they probably will, but you know, the Pacers are not a pushover team. We want to emphasize that. But if the Knicks do win tonight, then I feel pretty good about my pick in five, because I think they'll split in Indianapolis and then maybe come back and win it in game five. But Pacers are good. And remember, they did a pretty good job and were in striking distance until, you know, the call on Turner against DiVincenzo. They were doing fine, and Halliburton scored just 6 points. This guy who averages over 20 points a game scored just 6 points. Now, unless he's really hurt and he's not going to get better, then the Knicks are in great shape. I would think that he's going to rebound and have a better game. He said that he's going to, so we'll see. But DiVincenzo, for those that just think of him as a sniper and a great shooter, he can play defense. Mm-hmm. He shut down Maxey in game six. I mean, really shut him down after Maxey went off in game five. And I think he played a big role in shutting down Halliburton. Well, the Knicks are a good defensive team. All of Tibbs's, demands are, you know, they pretty much center on defense.
And say what you will about it, it was his smart play that he forced that turnover, whether it was an acting job or not. The moving screen was the work of DiVincenzo.
Absolutely.
Listen, they wouldn't have gotten DiVincenzo if he couldn't play D.
Right.
You can't be on Tibbs' team unless you can play some defense.
You know what I have in my hands right now, guys?
I would think you probably have the Yankee lineup.
Yeah, tonight's Yankees.
How'd you know that?
On 98.7 ESPN, brought to you by Bigelow Tea and Serta Pro Painters.
How did you know that?
Anthony Volpe, the shortstop, leads off. Batting second, the right fielder Juan Soto. Three more hits last night. Aaron Judge in center field will hit third. Cleaning up, left fielder Alex Verdugo. He had four ribbies and three hits last night. Giancarlo Stanton hit one of the hardest home runs I've ever seen. He's a DH, will bat fifth. Batting sixth, playing first base, Anthony Rizzo. Gleyber Torres at second base will bat seventh. Batting eighth and catching, it's Austin Wells. And Oswaldo Cabrera is back at third, and he is batting ninth. Carlos Rodon is on the mound for the Yankees. And Spencer Arrighetti is the starter for the Astros.
I'm not familiar with his work, Mark.
You don't have to get that familiar. I think he's getting sent down when their injured guys come back. That's tonight's Yankees starting lineup. Brought to you by Bigelow Tea. Bigelow Tea is a proud supporter of the Michael Kay Show and the official hot tea of the New York Yankees. And Serta Pro Painters, when choosing a painting professional for your home or business, the choice is simple. Choose happy. Choose Serta Pro Painters. Now, the Rangers, with a double overtime win over the Canes, they're up 2-0. Game three will be tomorrow in Carolina. Game four, Saturday in Carolina. So, Don, you've seen the games. You've seen every minute of the games. You were there. They're up 2-0. It hasn't been perfect, but remember, they're playing a much better team than they did in the first round. What's your biggest concern watching these games, despite the Rangers being up 2-0? What's your biggest concern about the Rangers?
Hold on, Don. I want you to think. I want you to take that in and give us an answer. And while you're thinking, I want to hear what it sounded like on 98.7 when the game was won from our very own Kenny Albert.
Sending it back out for a shot. It's blocked. Zibanejad towards the net. Knocked down. Trocheck scores! He scores! Vincent Trocheck wins game two in double overtime and is bobbed by his Ranger teammates.
Beautiful.
To answer Michael's question, Kenny is terrific, by the way. You mentioned the shots on goal, and they've done a pretty decent job until, obviously, the landslide of 57 shots last night.
Not what you want.
Including, what was it, 17 in the third period. Is they've got to find a way to get clear out the front of the net. You've seen a large percentage of their goals on deflections in front. They will put rubber to the net. And you're going to have to, these defensemen, even though a player doesn't have a puck, you still got to guard them. You still got to make sure they don't stand in front of the net. That's where they get a large percentage of their goals, and they can spend a lot of time in the zone. Rangers did have some trouble, even in the Washington series. Didn't matter as much, but certainly in this series, of clearing the puck. They've got really good puck-moving defensemen. Chatfield's very underrated. You know, Burns got a good shot. I think Slavin is a tremendous defenseman, and they might get Pesci back as this series goes deeper. So they've got to try to clear the puck and get out of the zone, because this Carolina team can overwhelm you and spend a lot of time in there, and that's when you can get in a little bit of trouble. And when you start losing faceoffs like they did yesterday, then it becomes a possession game and you don't have the puck. And it's been okay because the games haven't gotten away from them, but Carolina gets a two-goal lead or something, you're not going to be able to find a way to climb back into the game. So try to get a little bit more possession and try to get them out of the zone. Their big Aho is very difficult to move off the puck, and you did see that, especially a lot 5-on-5. If this becomes more of a 5-on-5 game, then you could start to see what has been the Rangers' Achilles heel all year. That's really where the Rangers, I think, are closer to average. They are amazing everywhere else. Goal, defense, clearly the way they play with the man advantage and on the penalty kill. But 5-on-5, they were a pretty even team all year, and Carolina is outstanding, and they've been good 5-on-5. So if this ends up being a real close game where there's not a lot of power play opportunities, you got to make sure that you get Carolina out of that zone, because they really can get a lot of opportunities with those bodies in front. So that concerns me more than anything else.
Why are the Rangers so good on the penalty kill? Is there a specific reason?
I just think they have talented players. They work well in space. Now, sometimes they get a little crazy. I've mentioned this before, where Dave will say, cue up Sweet Georgia Brown, where they're skating around and passing between their legs and, banking passes off the end boards. And it's like, all right, can we get a shot on goal here, guys? Don't turn the puck over. Don't make mistakes. Because they're overwhelmingly skilled. Panarin is a world-class skill player. So is Zibanejad. Trocheck is tremendous. They've got guys in the blue line like Adam Fox who has a great shot, great skater. And so when you've got that extra space with the man advantage, they could really take advantage of that by being able to complete these passes and use their skill. And the same on the penalty kill. A lot of the same guys, Zibanejad, Kreider, who are on the power play, are also on the kill. Similar idea, right? A little bit more space, more room to run. They've got fabulous skaters, and they've got a world-class goaltender. That certainly helps the kill. But I think that's why they're so good on special teams.
Who's the guy in the Canes that got in the face of Miller and said, I'll fight you anytime?
Oh, well, that's the guy that's been booed every time he's touched a puck, and that's Tony DeAngelo, former Ranger.
Why did he, single out Miller?
I don't know. Why does he do anything? Why did he punch his own goaltender when he was a Ranger?
Yeah, those are good questions.
He's an agitator, but he's also a very highly skilled player, and you can certainly see that. But he'll probably come out of the lineup if Pesci comes back in. But that's the only kind of quote-unquote tough guy that they've got to worry about. But I wouldn't worry too much about Tony DeAngelo as being a tough guy. But he's pretty highly skilled. He was frustrating when he was here, Michael, because he is so highly skilled. But sometimes he would let his emotions get the better of him, a.k.a. punching Alexander Georgiev, which is never a good idea. And that's what got him shipped out of here. And if he continues to play like that, then he's probably going to be more trouble for Carolina than the Rangers.
All right, let's go to the phone. Let's do this, all right? Let's go to Steve in Huntington. Steve.
Hey, Michael, Dom, Peter, how are you guys? Love the show.
Oh, thanks. We're good.
Yeah, so I've never been a big basketball fan. Just got into these playoffs and started watching, and it's just, unreal how fast you're hooked. Back in 21, my cousin came from overseas, and he wanted to go to a game, and we ended up seeing, Detroit Knicks, who was, people were out with injuries. I think Detroit had their second team in because of all the COVID stuff, but it was just horrible. And just to see them now, it's just it's really exciting. And I think I'm hooked into basketball. But I wanted to call and say, everyone keeps talking about how they're very short on the bench. These guys play so many minutes. And Don, you might be able to kind of talk about this, but I just keep thinking of John Tortorella's 2012 Rangers, where they just played so defensive. They blocked shots through the regular season, and I just feel like they ran out of steam there with the Devils losing that game in overtime. But it just seems like it's eventually going to catch up to them, just like it did with the Rangers, with how hard they play. Eventually, it's just got to catch up.
Well, I think it's a great comparison, because I don't think that Ranger team was as good overall as what their record ended up being. They were a team, competing for the President's Trophy with Vancouver that year. But, yeah, they were blocking shots, playing tons of minutes. And, again, they had to play a lot of games early in the playoffs. So by the time they got to the Devils, they didn't have anything left. That's my concern with the Knicks, is that they play so many minutes, they play so hard, because that's what makes them special. They're a really good team, Michael, but they're not as gifted as some of the teams that they're playing. But they work harder than those teams, and that's why they're in the situation that they're in. That's why it was so incumbent not have to play a seventh game against the Sixers. It's going to be huge if they have any chance against Boston to try to get through this series as quickly as possible, because I don't think Boston's going to lose a game to Cleveland. Is that fair? I think they're going to sweep Cleveland.
I think given what Cleveland's first round, between the matchup and the first round Cleveland had, yeah, I think that's safe to say.
Yeah, I mean, it was a 25-point game last night. So, yeah, you're going to – but I think the way that they play is going to be killer, more of a killer than the number of games that they played, where I think it really hurt the 2012 Rangers, the number of games that they played. But that's going to be the end of the Knicks, I think, for them making a real run to the championship. Michael, these minutes have to catch up with you, especially against an elite team like Boston. They'll get by the Pacers and certainly got by the Sixers. And listen, even at full strength, Boston's the best team in the NBA. So there's no shame in losing to them. But if you've got any shot, Michael, you've got to make sure you get some rest before the conference final.
Let's go to Antonio in New Jersey. Antonio.
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's going on?
Hey, I got 2 points. I don't think people have really mentioned this, but we're hypothetically a few weeks away from having two New York teams versus two Boston teams in two Eastern Conference Finals at the same time, which would be nuts.
We have mentioned it in the last couple of days, and it would be amazing. Boston certainly had a better run in terms of championships over the last couple of decades. Be nice for the Knicks and the Rangers to get by them if it happens. We don't know if either team is going to advance. We expect that they will. We expect that the Celtics will. Don, what's your take on the Bruins? You think the Bruins will or not? They're up one game to nothing.
I think Florida is the better team, but do you realize that Boston's win against the Panthers in game one, they've won all five matchups with the Panthers this year. Mm-hmm. So is there something going on? You know, styles make fights and all that. It's all about matchups. So, if they win tonight, Michael, they would have won two games in Florida and going back home with a 2-0 series lead. They won game one 5-1. Florida was well rested. The 2 days before, Boston had to win a game in overtime in Game 7 just to be able to play the Panthers, and they still won the game 5-1. So I didn't give Boston much of a chance going in. That's how much I respect Florida. But, Michael, why not? The way they won Game 1, the way they handled business all year against Florida, it's not a crazy thought. You know Boston's going, and the Rangers are up 2-0. We'll see what the Knicks do. Michael, it's not just the two cities. You'd be two buildings. They both play in the same place. Yep. It had to have happened before. I can't think of another time.
Did it have to have happened? Because think about it. I mean, the Knicks and the Celtics haven't matched up much recently.
They're usually not good at the same time. Well, the last time they did, they lost to Boston, right?
It would be. No, didn't they beat the Celtics in like 12 with Carmelo?
Was that the first round?
That was 08.
Or was that the second round?
Wasn't it 08?
No, they played Boston. They hadn't beat Boston with Carmelo. They only won the one round against them. Who did they beat in the first round again?
Yeah, he's thinking maybe they beat Boston, but I think they beat somebody in the first round, and then they lost to Boston in the second. Yeah.
But the point is, Don, it doesn't have to have happened, because when you think about how infrequently... All right, the last time, Knicks won 4-2 in 2013.
Beat Boston.
Correct.
So that was first round.
Oh, and then they lost to Indiana.
Yes. And the Bruins and the Rangers didn't meet up that year.
And then prior to that, the Celtics beat the Knicks 4-0 in 2011.
That's what I was thinking of.
And then it goes all the way back to 90. And then you're going all the way back to 90 prior to that.
The Rangers played Boston in the first round in 2013 and lost in five games. So they both played Boston in the first round in 2013.
Well, there's a lot more at stake now.
Well, conference final just puts it at a different... I'm sure it's happened in other rounds, but in a conference final or a final...
It would be crazy.
A lot of the buildings that are being used in both leagues, Michael, are dual purpose. The Avalanche and the Nuggets play in the same building for as long as the Nuggets may survive. What's going on in that series? Celtics, Bruins, Rangers, Knicks, Stars, Mavs. So like half the teams, that's why the schedule is so crazy.
Where do the Kings play? Do they play in crypto?
Yeah.
All right, so that's Kings, Lakers.
Yeah, but I'm saying right now, if teams still alive.
Oh, okay.
There's tons around the league, but I'm saying of the teams that are still alive.
Right.
And the team's still playing in both, So you've got some active arenas for sure.
Wednesdays with Mike continues. Mike Lupica will join us in just a moment to talk about this phenomenon with the Knicks and the Rangers going at it every other day in the Garden. It's amazing. The Knicks tonight in Game 2. But first, Peter's going to tell us about taking a luxurious bubble bath.
Well, I'm so glad you brought that up, Michael, because I do want to tell you about my friends over at Bath Fitter. They did my bath, did an amazing job, customized it for my needs, processed super easy. An expert installer, done in a day, no demo, no mess, and a permanent high-quality solution with a lifetime guarantee. 3 million happy customers like me. For a limited time, get 0% interest or save $500 on a complete Bath Fitter system. Start designing your bath today, like I did, at bathfitterdesign.com. There's only one Bath Fitter.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, before we go to our guest, I want to give you a quick Diamond Notes brought to you by London Jewelers. ABC News reporting that Ipe Mizuhara, the former interpreter for Shohei Ohtani, has pleaded guilty to bank fraud in relation to stealing nearly $17 million from the player in order to cover gambling debts, according to the Justice Department. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. And while this all goes on, Ohtani's putting together a Triple Crown season. That was Diamond Notes, brought to you by London Jewelers. Visit London Jewelers today at any of their 7 locations, including the Americana Mall and the Mall at Short Hills. We're turning Wednesday into a destination because we get a chance to talk to one of the greatest columnists of all time. He himself agreed Mount Rushmore is where he belongs, and maybe even have an empty space there. Not 4 people, maybe 3, and just a nice space, you know, next to his face. But we have him right now on the K Show, Mike Lupica. Mike, how are you?
Hey, Michael, I was thinking, you know, I mean, it's premature to talk about 2 spaces on Mount Rushmore, obviously, but maybe, this is just something to think about going forward, okay? Maybe they could do it like a mugshot, you know, me facing forward and then me in profile.
Oh, you know, that's not a bad idea.
That is a thought.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah, but unfortunately, it looks kind of like a monument-sized mugshot.
Well, he just said that. He wants that.
That's what
monument
I just said,
size,
Don.
Though. I'm sorry.
So this is the way it was working with you.
This is why I want him on the show.
And you would think that with all the time you were talking, I'd listen a little bit. That was a bad job at him.
Wow, going back at our guest.
He's on a guest now.
What was his show? It was the Mike Lupica show.
Yeah, he now has his own segment. So,
Mike, you were right in the middle of 94. Does this remind you of it at all?
Yeah, it does, Michael, except it's an even better time because of the way the Yankees are playing. So we've added baseball into the mix right now. But, Mike, I can remember flying to Vancouver for the night for Game 6 on a Saturday because that could have been the night when the Rangers won the Stanley Cup, taking the red eye back through Toronto because the Knicks were playing at the Garden the next afternoon. It was just an extraordinary time where you just felt like all life in the city was running through Madison Square Garden. And you remember, after Knicks or Rangers games, if one of the others was playing, people would stay in the arena and they would put the game on the big board.
Oh, man.
Now, pretty incredible stuff. Now, as somebody that lived through that, Mike, it's so easy to look back at Messier and Leach and Graves and Richter and all those guys and hold them up in high regard because they eventually won. But from a pure star power, leave Messier aside because we knew what he was before he got here. Can Kreider, Zibanejad, Panarin, Igor Shesterkin, could you make the case that they're, even though they haven't won yet, that from a star power standpoint, they might be as bright, if not brighter?
Yeah, Don, if they win. I mean, yeah. that elevates everything around here. You know, we haven't had a lot of winning in any of the major sports for quite some time. I mean, the Giants were the last team that won. I'm not dismissing soccer, but you know what I mean. And yeah, if you win, I mean, I went back and looked today, and back at the 1970 NBA Finals. Okay, because I want to use that as a reference point for something in a minute. Okay. Willis played great till he got hurt. Dick Barnett played great. You know, they had Hall of Famers just about at every position on that team. But even with all of that, they needed the epic drama of Game 7, and they needed the Knicks' first championship. And then, of course, they did it again 3 years later. And so winning changes everything.
I
thought it was Don just banged on him.
You think Don did that?
Don did.
I don't have the power.
Wow,
I know better than that. He could have me killed.
He really could.
You think so, Lupica?
He might.
Wow.
You don't know the power of Lupica.
He might be the most powerful person I've ever worked with. Now, really? It's all relative. I mean, I don't know what kind of power the media has anymore, but you know what I'm saying, Michael. He's not nobody. No, he's somebody.
He could have you killed if you actually did that. Hi, Mike. You back?
Mike, didn't you used to talk about the wave of the hand?
Yes. When Mike would wave the hand, you were out of the business.
You're done. And you know what? We're all very fortunate to still be. Because there are some that are no longer here.
So, as I was saying, all of those Hall of Famers on the Knicks of that time, okay, which is why there is as much romance attached to them as any team that's ever played. It's a similar romance to like the 98 Yankees and Torrey's Yankees. But winning changes everything, especially in New York. And so if this Rangers team does this, and they do it 30 years after, you know, it won't be 1940 to 1994, but it feels like that to Rangers. No, this is tremendous what's going on. Because we talked about this, I think, last week. This is, to me, one of the most appealing Knicks teams, for example, of all time. And Don, I will tell you this. I stayed up and I watched the second overtime last night of the Rangers, because you know how passionate I am about hockey, and the minute they whistled that penalty, I knew the game was over. I knew that they were going to send out all the heavy hitters, they were going to score, and they were going to go ahead 2-0, and that's exactly what happened.
Now, I agree with Jeff Van Gundy that comparison is, you know, is a thief of joy, especially comparing eras, but we've been talking about this a lot in the last week or so. Is Jalen Brunson the best Knick since Patrick Ewing?
Oh, without question. Oh, no. You talk about for all of the great players, and I'm not dismissing Willis or my friend Dave DeBuscher or Bill Bradley or anybody, okay? There's three guys that I think have separated themselves from the others, and that is Clyde, Patrick, and Jalen Brunson. And guys, I will go one step further. What Jalen Brunson is doing right now is as great a postseason performance as I have ever seen in any sport while I've been covering sports in New York City. What he's doing on a nightly basis feels like it's Reggie's three, except it's every night, okay? It's Phil Simms against the Broncos, except it's every night. It's Strahan and Tuck and what they did to Brady, except it's every night. And this is a guy who's listed at 6'2". Yeah, right, good one. The whole game runs through his hands, and he is doing this on a nightly basis. And it is, you know, here's the thing about Clyde, okay? The greatest single game we had ever seen or heard about was obviously Game 7. Willis limps out and makes two shots, but as you know, Clyde goes for 36, 19, and 7 that night. It's the greatest game of his life, and people still call it the Willis Reed game, okay? For that series, though, Clyde, I think, averaged 17 points and 10 assists. He was having a perfectly good series. He was like their fourth leading scorer. Willis mm-hmm. was their leading scorer before he got hurt. What this kid is doing is like Jeter's best October. I mean, you know, Jeter's first October mm-hmm. in 96, he had 22 hits. And everybody remembers A-Rod in 2009, except Derek actually hit 400 in two of those series and had another 22 hits. Mickey had like one 400 World Series. Mm-hmm. What we are seeing is somebody performing under the biggest possible spotlight. And, you know, the old Dizzy Gillespie jazz man line, the professional is the one who can do it again. Well, he keeps doing it again and again and again.
The only one we came up with other than A-Rod was 2015 Daniel Murphy, those first couple of rounds.
Yes, yes, where they couldn't get him out. And obviously, I'm not excluding Bernard King. Bernard King, in 84, that was an, you know, I saw all those games. It was an unbelievable thing, okay? But what this kid has made himself, over these seven games, he's as big a star as there is in his sport. He's playing for his team the way Anthony Edwards is playing for his team, the way Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is playing for the Oklahoma City Thunder. Again, to put it in perspective, I've never seen a better postseason performance by anybody in town than what we're seeing on a nightly basis for this kid.
Now, you've been lucky enough, and we've been lucky enough that you've been there, at every big venue in this country for every big sporting event. How different is the Garden, Mike, on nights like that?
Well, Michael, it's funny. It is different. But it's different because we think it's different. I mean, there's a sound, you know, the Boston Garden when the Celtics are going good it gets pretty loud. I think there is a combination of there's one thing that goes into this right now at the Garden that you get in other places, but it's more sustainable in New York, and that's wanting. You can hear how much Knicks fans want this, okay? You can hear how much Rangers fans want this. It's excitement, it's drama, it's close games, it's all of that stuff. The Rangers have played two close games against Carolina. The Knicks seem to play a life and death game every single night. But now you factor in that the Knicks haven't won in a half a century. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying they're going to win this year, but you know what? If they end up against the Celtics, I mean, think about this, by the way. I'm sure you guys have talked about this. We may be looking at two New York-Boston series.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
I mean, that'll be 19. Guys, that'll be 1994 on steroids.
Yeah, that is a whole different level. A team that we assumed we'd be seeing in the finals, whoever gets there, was the Denver Nuggets. Mike, you've been around a long time. Can you think of another time where a team that was seemingly so great, when they finally faced a real challenge, kind of melted the way the Nuggets seem like they're melting?
John, I have been searching my memory, okay? And I'm sure I'm going to forget some stuff, too, okay? But I remember one year back, when Rick Barry's Warriors swept the Bullets, when the Bullets looked like the baddest men on the planet, okay? And they just were never in the series. When that game was nearly 30 points in game two at halftime, and if you guys watch the game, you know this, you started to wonder if the defending champs could get the ball over half court.
Yeah.
I mean, they look like one of my old rec league basketball teams, okay? And that's how bad it was. This, to me, the Knicks are a great story. There's so many great stories going on right now, okay? The Minnesota has made themselves into a great story. But to me, the headline of the postseason in the NBA right now is what has happened to the Denver Nuggets. Because, guys, we thought they were going to roll. I mean, yep. I put me down as not knowing how good Minnesota was. Okay, I kind of have been interested in the Thunder all year, but this has been a stunning turn of events.
Now, Mike, before we let you go, I know sometimes you like to test me and test your theory. So, Don and Peter, Mike has always said that you could text me during a game and I'll answer between C and yeah.
Right.
All right. So last Wednesday, Mike was on. And he's off at like 10 to 5. He waits until 7:30 to text me and go, "That was fun," just to see if I would text him back, and I did. Was that a little Mike Lupica test? Is that what you were doing?
I'm not particularly proud of the fact that that happens to be true, Michael. The normal thing, you know, I had a good time. I'm glad we're going to be doing this going forward. The normal thing would be to wait till the first commercial after I've gone off.
Right.
But I did wait, and this is a sign of personal growth, okay? It wasn't a particularly dramatic point in the game when I texted you back, okay? So, I mean, I don't want you to pat me on the back for that, but I should get some credit. It wasn't like bases loaded, nobody out for the Yankees.
I just knew that's what you were doing. I knew it.
Wow.
I know you too well. I said, he's testing me to see if I still answer back during a game.
And you passed, right?
I passed.
And how about this? Go ahead, Mike.
What?
No,
what?
You go ahead.
No, go ahead. No, I hit Cone once in a while, too, but he's not as easy a mark as you are, Mike.
I was just going to say, how's this, Mike? This predates my time at the radio station, but just to make you feel old, how do you feel that your former great producer, Andrew Gunling, turned 40 years old last week?
Oh, my God. You know what? You guys, you want me to do this every Wednesday, but if you're gonna be mean, I can pull the plug. No, see, Michael, this is what it was like. He seems like, I mean, other than when he goes off on one of those tangents, John seems like such a nice guy.
No, that was Peter.
That was
Peter.
Oh, Peter.
He's not nice either.
Oh, wait a minute, Peter. You know what?
Peter asked me a question.
Peter, yeah. I know that you had misgivings about me way back when I first went on, because Michael, there he was a little snarky about me, wasn't he? And then I think I won him over.
You really did. You really. There's something. No, it's your personality as a guest I find to be incredibly endearing. I don't know. When I used to listen to you as a listener, sometimes I would get annoyed with you. As we all have relationships, as there are people getting annoyed with me right now as I speak. But then getting to know you on the show, it was my idea to have you as a weekly. I think you're a delight.
You that first time, Peter texts me, he goes, he has to be on every week. He's phenomenal.
Hey, you're a delight. What can I say?
I'll tell you what, okay? I rarely, in the same conversation, am described as being endearing and delightful. So this is a good day for me. This is a really, really good day for me.
I think you could tell Taylor that, and she won't believe it.
Taylor doesn't think I'm either. Come on.
I know. She's a saint, the woman. Anyway, Mike, this is fun.
You know what?
And I'll get a text from you in the third inning, right?
Okay, I'm just going to tell you what Parcells always has told me, okay? That someday when Taylor goes up to heaven, God will be waiting for her and say, "Oh, you come right in, dear."
Boy, is Parcells right. Thank you, Mike.
Thanks, Mike.
Okay, guys, this is a blast. Bye-bye.
Thanks, right.
That's Mike Lupica. Now, I got to tell you.
I guess Don and I sound similar.
Yeah, he.
That's happened twice today, though. I think you and I sound more similar than we realize, maybe.
Really?
Maybe.
Because Joel, I asked the question, and he said Peter.
Yeah.
It was weird. It used to be that Parcells would just say Michael all the time.
Here you go. Look at this happen.
How detailed is that in the doc?
You know, I think Mike mentioned it at the very top of the interview. Peter.
Wow. I've got a bone to pick with the NBA.
Nice.
Really?
A big bone to pick.
I'm with you, I think. I think we're on the same page.
I mean, a huge, gigantic bone
right.
to pick.
Here we go.
I'm so angry, Peter, that I might need to call BetterHelp.
Well, Michael, that's good, because I have a message brought to you by BetterHelp. So, therapy can be such a critical, critical tool for you and for me. We all carry around our different stressors, big and small. Personal, professional, romantic, whatever it may be. And we can certainly get affected negatively by having too many things just sort of build up on our consciousness. It starts to weigh you down. You know me, I was in such a bad space, I couldn't take it. Turned into the vape ape. You've heard the stories before. But I'll tell you what helped me crawl out of that deep period, the deep, dark trenches that I was in. It was therapy. And maybe you've been considering therapy, trying to alleviate some of that stress and some of that burden off your shoulders. So if you've thought about therapy, consider giving BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient. It's flexible. It's suited to your schedule. You fill out a brief questionnaire. You get matched with a licensed therapist, and you switch therapist at any time for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Peter today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp.com/Peter.
Feeling like you need a marketing degree and an extra day in your week to successfully market your small business? Let Constant Contact do the heavy lifting for you. Constant Contact's award-winning marketing platform has powerful tools that make it easy to grow your audience, engage your customers, and sell more to boost your business. Now, in just a few clicks, you can launch a marketing campaign that's tailored to your business and goals. That includes email, social, SMS, and more. So you can sell more, raise more, and fast-track your business growth. Plus, you can always count on Constant Contact's award-winning customer support for guidance along the way. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
So before we get into the NBA aggravating me, and it sounds like Don, too. Anthony Greek looked this up, guys. In 1971-72, the Knicks beat the Celtics in the Eastern Conference Finals, and the Bruins beat the Rangers for the Cup. Not sure how it was lined up exactly.
That's pretty close, though.
What was that?
It's close, though.
Yeah. 1972-73, Rangers beat Boston in the quarterfinal, and in 1972-73, the Knicks beat Celtics in the Conference Finals. So, never been in the conference final each time.
It would just
I
be.
I guess 71-72 was the closest, right?
It would be, yeah. So this would be a really big deal. Now follow me if you're lost, tweets. Guys, can we get a grip? The Rangers are in the second round. The Knicks are in the second round. You guys are acting like they're playing game 7 of the championship series. Islanders just played back-to-back conference finals. I mean, I'm sorry. It's the Islanders. We're talking about the Knicks and the Rangers. The biggest hockey team, the biggest basketball team. The Knicks are right up there as one of the biggest teams in New York, you know, competing. It's just different, all right? I grew up a Devil fan. It hits different. If this were the Nets and the Devils playing, it wouldn't be a thing. If it was the Islanders and the Nets playing, it wouldn't be a thing. But it's the Knicks and the Rangers. It's the Garden. It's the Mecca. Take a look at the numbers. Take a look at the ratings. And tell me that this isn't a thing that has gripped New York. It gripped Islander fans that they went to the third round back-to-back years. It gripped Devil fans that they won the Cup in 2003. It gripped Net fans when they went to back-to-back finals in the early 2000s. But gripping the city, getting people that maybe aren't sports fans to now kind of pay attention.
I understand being a fan, but I mean, why even send that? Yeah. I mean, he doesn't get it. He doesn't get it.
So what?
I mean, I understand being an Islander fan, but you just don't get it.
I mean, these
things, you're being that guy.
They're leading the news. I'm sorry. It's just a big. It's a bigger deal because it just, and it's nobody's fault. The Knicks are an original NBA franchise. The Rangers are an original Six franchise. They've been around for a century. They've got generations of fans. They both have gone a long time without winning championships, and they've got a bigger fan base. And it's something that I'm sure, Peter, you probably know pop culture, that
or just I got hot. I'm sure if the Knicks are playing in the NBA Finals, you're going to talk about it on your show. I don't know about the Rangers, but I'm sure the Knicks, you're going to be talking about your show.
If first of all, if the Rangers, we now talk about the Knicks every day after they play.
Right.
It's now made it there. And obviously, we've had a busy schedule with the whole Drake Kendrick thing. That's slowing down a bit. Knicks come up every time. Rangers have been mentioned a couple times, but if they go to the conference finals, then the Rangers are still getting mentioned also. If they were both in the finals, this will take over every format. They'll be talking about Z100.
Yeah.
It'll be everything.
It'll be leading, unless something major happened, it would be the lead sports story on the news.
Or the lead story. Page of the Post every day.
And yeah, the amazing big deal. And the selfish part for me is just pure selfishness. If they were to go on a run, if they could both go to the finals, when do the NHL finals conclude, Don? Mid-June? Mid-June.
They basically be playing every other day. It would probably end around the same time.
They'd both take us to mid-June. You realize that we'd be like a month from training camp. I mean, from a sports talk standpoint, Don. It would take you practically the All-Star break.
Yeah, and again, I only read it because you get those sometimes. You just have to understand that there's a pecking order in this city with certain franchises. And these teams, it's going to hit differently because the fan bases are just bigger.
This is a fun picture that I got sent to me on Twitter from the NBA on ESPN. The pictures of Carlisle as Larry Bird's assistant and Thibodeau as the Knicks' assistant back in 99. A lot
more hair on both, right?
A lot more hair. A little bit younger in the face. But it is a fun little bonus, like the little sort of Easter eggs in this series of rivalry, including one we haven't talked about tonight, which I'm sorry. I want to give such props to TNT. The beauty that is Reggie Miller calling the game tonight. That's just smart, entertaining booking, guys.
Now, we're going to get into the NBA story on the other side of five, but I just got to ask both of you, because I'm sitting here at the stadium before the Yankees-Astros game, which is on Prime. What is that beautiful cake that you have in front of you?
Oh, do you see it? Are you able to see it?
Yes, I do.
Oh, boy.
What is it?
It's our good friends at Calandra's Bakery. They brought through a celebratory Knicks Rangers cake. It is delightful. It is beautiful. The front that you're seeing is still in great position. Now, I'm going to show you the back. Should I show them what happened to it?
Yeah, go ahead.
So it's been sitting there now to look pretty for a long time. It looks like we haven't eaten it. Hold on.
I think enough time has passed, but it's like at a certain angle, it looks like John F. Kennedy's okay.
Oh my God, too soon.
But then you turn the cake here and you see that this cake is not okay. This cake didn't make it. Yeah, there you go. Oh, you see it, Michael?
Yeah.
When you say it like that and then you look at what it
is. It's
really, it's an awful thing to say, Don. I mean, you're really teetering on the edge of being inappropriate.
It's like John F. Kennedy's okay.
I mean, what is wrong with you?
And then you turn around and you go, there's no putting Humpty Dumpty back together again. That's what you're saying.
I didn't know if enough time. Should I went with Lincoln?
No, you shouldn't have gone with anything of the sort.
I mean, in all fairness, just in defense of my friend Don.
What is your defense of your friend Don?
We're at 60 years now.
It's still nothing to be made light of.
I understand, but you're allowed to make the reference, I think. Don, I'm going to give you a pass.
How come you're also, other than that, Mrs. Lincoln, how was
the play? About Mrs. Lincoln? Mary Todd Lincoln had a bad night. I don't like you making light of it.
Yeah.
I've never said the sentence, Mary Todd Lincoln had a bad night, ever.
No, but you say, other than that, Mrs. Lincoln, how was the show?
It is
right.
You're mocking.
But I never name her by name.
It doesn't matter. You're mocking Mrs. Lincoln.
Yeah.
What was the worst night of her life.
Right. And you are making light of what happened in the theater where the play took place.
Well, as tragic as that was, it's a long time ago.
Well, I'm just saying.
A lot of people listening and watching this show right now that experienced that.
Fair. Well, they experienced it vis-a-vis the news. Sure, yeah. But, you know.
Yeah, listen, I talk for a living. I don't think it's going to be going on much longer. And whether I'm in the studio or at the ballpark, I'm sure to have a cup of Bigelow tea by my side. There's nothing like fueling my voice, body, and soul with only the finest tea. Bigelow Earl Grey, this delightful blend of black tea and real bergamot oil, not your ordinary tea. It's a broadcaster's dream come true. Keeps me energized and focused throughout the broadcast, ensuring I deliver nothing but the best for my loyal listeners. So join the millions of fans that make Bigelow Tea number one in New York. Bigelow Tea, the official hot tea of the New York Yankees.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.